Fantasy Six Pack Hour with your hosts Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Appelgarth. Nice shirt, man.
Yeah, it is pretty nice. I like the cut, like the feel. How about you?
Yeah, man. It came from this cool place called the Fantasy Football Expo, which is cool. We're going to talk about tonight.
Sounds like it's a fun time.
Yeah.
I may not have also gotten this sweet hat here.
Yeah. It like matched the shirt, which was pretty cool.
It does.
So anyway, so tonight we're gonna be talking a little bit about the expo and what it was all about, what went on. And if you didn't go, you should have FOMO because it was awesome. And then
#Jeff,
of course, before we jump into that though, I just want to remind everybody, and ask politely, please. Hit that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, leave those 5-star reviews. We love you guys for it, and goes a long way helping us out. And of course, jump over to fantasysixpack.net and become an all access member. You're going to get the cheat sheet, which helps me in the draft we're about to talk about and did pretty damn well, I must say. You're going to get our award-winning rankings. You're going to get access to all of us on Discord. So much more. We got a ton planned out for you all this season, and maybe got some little side projects in the works. We'll see what goes on here. By the way, AJ, have you moved any of your leagues over to Fantrax yet? I know I have, man.
Yes, I have. Damn right.
Fantrax, their football platform, man, is something. I know a lot of people know them for baseball, but they do football and it's actually really good. Like, we've done a mock or two over here on Fantasy Six Pack. We did one on air. We're about to do another one next week. And then we got a real league in 2 weeks. It's good stuff over there, guys. They have lots of customization. The leagues are free. So you don't have to pay anything to get that customization like you do in some other sites, not mentioning names. Fantrax.com/Fantasy Six Pack. Go create your free account today, and you won't regret it, I promise you.
Definitely.
So with that being said here, let's bring in our guest, Fantasy and Frames writer over here, Tyler Heal. What's going on, man?
Not much. I appreciate you guys having me. This is the first time I actually saw your intro. I love that animation. That is so much
fun. One of our writers, Davis Pang, big best ball player, he created it for us. It was awesome, dude. Like, we had the intro music forever, and then he was like, oh, I want to create a cool intro for you. And I'm like, well, clearly we need to have something with Tecmo Super Bowl. And he made it. So spot on. We have a baseball version too. Like, we use a NES style baseball type thing. It's really cool.
It's awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Tyler joined me and Keith in the Kings Classic draft at the Expo, one of two teams actually in person in our division. Most of it was online, unfortunately. Kind of missed everybody this year. Last year was a blast. I was on Rob Wozniak's team, and half the league was in person, which was cool. But this year, unfortunately, a bunch of people couldn't make it. It is what it is. So, but we're going to talk about all of that soon. But first, we need to do our beer of the week.
Beer.
Tyler, you are the guest. You go first, man.
Well, I grabbed what I had in my fridge, and it's actually very good. I've got the Foothills Brewery. I can't turn it the right way. Foothills Brewery, Forge Pilsner. It's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but it is good stuff.
All right.
Cool, man.
Always enjoy a good Pilsner.
Is that where you're from?
I live in Raleigh.
Dude, that's where Keith is from. You guys should meet up.
We should.
We literally sat across the table from you. You guys had no idea that you were like basically neighbors.
I did find out that JJ Zacharyson comes to like I live in a town called Apex, not Raleigh technically.
Okay, yeah.
And JJ Zacharyson comes here all the time because he has family here.
Hilarious.
Nice. That's fantastic.
AJ, what
fantasy football, bringing people together.
Of course.
Thank God. So I came home to a bunch of these. Devil's Purse Brewing Co. is a brewery. A buddy of mine who lives here technically is sort of my neighbor here in Rising Sun, Maryland. But he lives up in Mass now and works for Devil's Purse. So he brought me a bunch of random beers on Friday night that we were at the expo. So Steven, thank you very much. This is my first attempt at trying layering. It's just an IPA brewed with spruce and white pine.
Okay.
Interesting.
Oh, that'll do.
I've not heard of layering.
I have not either. You're going to have to figure out how to get me one of those, AJ.
Yeah, I will. Damn, that's really good.
So I've got some like super, super good stuff in the fridge that somebody sent me through the mail. Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. Or somebody brought to my house.
Through the mail.
But to stay on the expo theme, I'm drinking a brew that our producer gave me at the expo. Founders, Four Giants, Tropical Treasure, Tropical Hazy IPA. These are pretty good. I had one while I was there, so give it about
remembers.
3 3/4. Hey, you have two. I have one in my fridge. That's four. That's
true. That
is true. There we go. I can do math. I think.
Slow clap.
All right. All right, man. So
all right, let's jump into this.
So yeah, man, expo talk, man. Just real quick. Guys, I mean, legit, like awesome weekend. I still have like 3/4 of a voice, if you can't tell. It's still a little scratchy. I lose it every single year. It just never fails. But that just tells you how many people are there that you want to talk to. And it's so loud. It's just a great time. I'm out partying way too late every single night. But it's a blast. And you know, it's
you much can never struggle. Play Pong too late.
I mean, it's much of a especially when I beat your ass.
It's all right. We'll get a rematch next year.
Okay. You're going to lose again. You're going to get mad at me. You're going to start dart throwing the cups.
Cue the Rocky montage.
Okay. Mike's going to practice it a whole beforehand. I haven't practiced it for last year. Same time. But no, guys, like if you have not made it, everybody is invited. You do not need to be in the industry writing for a site. Everybody's invited. Please go. It is awesome. We actually, no offense to everybody in the industry that I get to see there every single year, and I love seeing them. I want to meet the fans. I want to meet the people reading and listening to our content. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's why we're here. And doing this. So, Tyler, I don't know, man, any other, what's your thoughts on the expo, man? Was this your first year or you've been before?
This was my third year, actually.
Yeah, this is mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first year I went, I was not in the industry or anything like that, but I wound up talking to the guys over at Fantasy and Frames, and they tricked me into writing a waiver wire article for them every week for that first season.
That's how it always starts. Well, the old waiver wire.
So I've never been on the other side. Like, what is it like as a fan when you walk up there, you know, you walk into these parties and everybody's there? Like, I mean, what's the feeling you have?
It's a little overwhelming, but it's just, and I think that's more of, you don't know anyone,
right?
Like, you know, a few people for like the big national guys, that you might read on Yahoo or something like that or NFL.com, but it's moreover just kind of getting past that social wall of there are 500 people I know here. It seems like they already know each other, but that's the best part about the community is everyone does go out of their way to talk to you and make you feel welcome, even if they do not know you and they already have all their friends there.
Yeah. I mean, I know like every chance I could get, I would try to talk to, if I didn't see an affiliation on their name tag, I was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm Joe Bond. Good to meet you. What brings you here? kind of stuff like, I'm always trying to reach out.
Yeah. I talked to a handful of the fans that were there this year and, some of the guys that we met at the DC Live, Scott Fish draft, a few others from out of town, out in, Michigan, I believe, Detroit. I mean, people from all over come to this thing and it's just awesome. And basically the same thing I was telling them is just like, we love seeing you guys here, seeing the fans, like, this is what we do it for. Like, you're the ones who are out here putting this content out for, and, we just like are super appreciative of you making the trip, coming out, partying with us, karaokeing with us, whatever it may be. It's just awesome. So I've already, come to the idea that we will be there next year. I mean, I know we said, we'll give it some time.
On the way home, you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it.
I was so miserable for the drive, but.
Try driving by yourself, hungover.
I may just make Joe do that next year. Not fly.
At least you wouldn't feel bad pulling over and puking off the side of the road when you're driving by yourself.
That's fair. That's I'm not hindering anybody but myself.
Oh, man, I hope we're not scared everybody off with all that talk, but no, it's good stuff. All right, so let's get into these King's Classic drafts. For those of you who don't know what King's Classic is, it is a league that Bob Lung started many, many years ago. I'm not even really sure. It started out with, I think, just one league, and it was like him and, the who's who of fantasy football. And then with the help of, I think, the Expo, it branched out to a second division and then a third division. And now there's, there's the three, there's the three divisions that were there, but now it has even expanded beyond that. There's an IDP division. There's a college football division. And best of all, there's a Queens division, all women's league. That's awesome to see. We need to just get them interchange with us too, though, to be honest. But it's just awesome to see them like get their recognition, and we can support everything that they do because they deserve it for sure. But Tyler and I were in the Dawson draft division, and drafting with people like Michael Hoff, Michael Fabiano, your boss over there, Jorge, got a team last second because somebody had to bow out. Grant Barfield, Chris Prince, Mike Williams, Murph. I mean, there's tons of people in this draft. 14 team leagues, PPR, one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, three flex, tight end, and then five bench, six bench, a lot of bench, and 16 total players. Yeah. So very deep leagues. And there's no, there's nobody that's gonna just be horrible. Like, you're gonna have to be sharp in order to draft well. So Tyler, I wanna ask you about your team here, and you are the Fantasy and Frames team. It was supposed to be you and Nate. Nate got roped into drafting for the IDP, and was there all day drafting an auction draft. It probably lasted 12 hours. you were the fifth and I was actually the sixth. We were the only two in person. So it's funny, when we started the draft, I remember looking over Keith and going, I mean, we can pretty much probably say, right, it's going to be McCaffrey and Jefferson and Chase as 1, 2, 3, most likely, right? Mm-hmm. Probably Eckler somewhere mixed in top four. And then it's either going to be Kupp or Hill. And I looked at him and I said, are you good with whoever falls? And he said, yes. So, boom, starts off McCaffrey. And I was actually kind of shocked, being a PPR. Jefferson, then Chase, then Kupp. And I went, oh, okay. So Tyler is clearly taking Tyreek Hill or Austin Eckler. And you did not. You surprised me and took Hill. And I went, oh. I was like so set on just having a receiver in the first round. And I was like, oh. I looked at him and I'm like, well, we've definitely got to go Eckler, right? Give me your thoughts. Why did you take Hill over Eckler?
Positional value with the three wide receiver spots in a 14-team league, and only two running backs and three flexes, you have that flexibility to start whoever you want in your flex. You need to have wide receivers. It's the deepest position there is, but there's also a steep drop-off after the first few tiers. So I valued that wide receiver position more than running back. And you will be able to judge by the remainder of my draft yes. that I did not value running back very much.
Yes, very, very much so. And I kind of went with the thought that, so the way that I've been drafting, I said this on the redraft strategies panel that I was on at the expo on Sunday, that I've kind of turned into a hero RB type player. So I want one anchor, and that usually means I'm getting one in the first or second round. And then I'm going pretty heavy running back or receiver in between. And then what happens is what you said is that tier falls off like it just plummets, man. You just fall off the cliff and you're like, well, there ain't nothing else left. But some of the running backs at that point left are like, I mean, they have probably a pretty fair chance of hitting at some point for a few weeks in the season. One injury makes them like an RB1 or at least an RB2. And then at that point you're good. But I find it hard, especially, you know, in a PPR league to pass on an Austin Eckler in the first round when he falls to me at six. That was like, oh, okay. I mean, the dude catches like 90 passes. So you're like, you're basically a receiver plus the running back points he's going to get. So I'm fine there taking him. But yes, you went heavy, heavy receiver for sure. You know, you took DK, then Amari, then Christian Kirk. All great picks, I guess, you know. So the running backs really did fall in this draft. I don't know if there's anything that you noticed in those first few rounds that kind of stood out to you.
Yeah, the running backs were available. It's not like they were all going. And I think they were falling to the point where I was comfortable saying, maybe they'll fall again. And eventually that runs out and yes. It does not happen. But I mean, I consciously made that decision to not take those running backs. The closest I was to taking a running back was in my third round pick when I took Amari Cooper. I very nearly took Jahmyr Gibbs.
Gibbs over Harris. Why that?
So one, I think Jalen Warren is going to eat into Najee Harris's work this year. I've never been particularly impressed by Najee Harris as a player personally. I don't think he's super explosive. I think he's a solid running back. And
I forgot to share the screen. So I apologize for everybody yeah, watching.
Like,
AJ has no idea what's
looking
going
at what you're talking about.
Let's zoom in here a little bit for everybody. Oop, that's a little too far. So yeah, we'll do this. But anyway, so what we're talking about here is a Fantasy and Frames team. So we're looking at this pick here where he's a Cooper over Harris. And then Gibbs went a couple picks later, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Najee Harris, I think he's been overvalued in my mind since he's caught 90 passes from a noodle arm Ben Roethlisberger in his rookie season. And that's kind of why I would have gone. I likely would have gone Gibbs and ETN over Najee Harris.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the upside with Gibbs and ETN is there. I kind of like ETN a little bit more than Gibbs, honestly. I just, you know, I know Montgomery is, you know, kind of a little old man-ish, I guess if you want to call it that. But I kind of worry if Gibbs gets the Swift role next year, this year, I mean. And to where, like, he's got potential to blow up, but, like, if he's not getting those inside the 20, inside the 10, the goal line touches, that he's really going to struggle to, you know, have those games where he can you know, really windy weeks. But let's move on here. So the other one of the other picks that kind of surprised me, and it was another interesting, like you were the guy that was like, oh man, like you kept taking guys that me and Keith were talking about, and I was like, damn it, stop it. So then
you guys got me back. It was funny. Draft.
It was, yeah. Well, that's fine. You would rather get snaked in round like 15 than round, you know, two and three, yeah. Whatever. So, you didn't exactly snake us here, but it was very interesting. We were talking about, because in a 14 team league, what I learned pretty quickly last year, especially with this crew, was that there is no streaming available for quarterbacks. You get burnt by quarterbacks in this division, you aren't making that ground up unless you get super lucky off the waiver wire. And so I knew I wanted to go kind of early quarterback. I wanted one of the top, you know, 10 at least. But when round five came around, at that point, we're already looking at Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar, Justin Fields, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, or no, sorry, that's later, and Joe Burrow off the board. So at that point, we're coming on round four, round five here, and we're looking at, and me and Keith were kind of having that little like whisper talk because you're right across the table, like, all right, you know, if, you know, if do we want to take a Herbert now or do we want to wait and hope Trevor Lawrence comes back to us? I don't think he will, but what do you want to do? And then when you took Lawrence, and I went, no, we cannot wait any longer. It made our decision so much easier. But I kind of like I'm a huge Lawrence fan. I, you know, watch the ACC with him. We're, me and AJ are both, you know, Virginia Tech Hokies here. Obviously, you're from the ACC area, so you probably saw a lot of him also. But what made you take Lawrence over Herbert?
So one somewhat personal preference, I just love Trevor Lawrence. I think he is going to take a step this year. I think he's going to be talked about in the same breath as those top guys in fantasy and in the NFL. Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts.
Amen to that, Tyler.
Hell yeah.
Ton of comments, by the way, that I've clearly not been paying attention to.
And to be honest with you, I knew I was taking Trevor Lawrence before I even drafted Christian Kirk. I was talking to Stacy, my co-host, who was helping me with this, and I said, all right, I'm taking the Jag stack.
Herbert for golf. The Kirk Lawrence stack, that's pretty nice.
And it was just a matter of, so which one do we think will definitely come back? And we said, we think it's Lawrence, especially since those other teams had already taken quarterbacks. Not that I could tell that at the time, since ESPN doesn't have a draft board.
Yeah.
But
we kept switching between the teams and being like, what do they have?
This is a more important topic right now. ESPN does not have a draft board.
Oh, yes. They do not. It is very interesting.
I mean, it's been so long since I've played on their platform because I'm busy, you know, on Fantrax or, you know, few other random ones, but
a few other random ones.
Not ESPN. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. That needs to be a big one. But yeah. Okay. So you know what else are your takeaways here from this snake draft, man? Just
man.
What did you learn?
I learned never take chances when you're drafting with sharps. if you look at someone and say, I think they'll fall to me, they won't. It's not going to happen.
That was me last year. Waz had been in it. And of course, I mean, Waz should have never listened to a thing I said that last year because he asked me to play at 11:30 at night and I had probably drank like five IPAs by that point. And I was like, why am I waking up at 8 o'clock? And they started earlier last year too.
Yeah.
So I was there like just like dying on the couch where in the room we were playing in, drafting in. And, you know, I made a couple calls and I was dead wrong. I mean, we got second in the snake, but the auction draft was not pretty. So hopefully made up for it this year. But yeah, it's interesting. And in 14 teams, really, like, I know that's not the norm, right? I mean, I don't play in any other 14 team leagues, to be honest. And it's definitely a difference, you know, because we're all weight on quarterback guys, we're all weight on tight end guys, but man, getting that positional, you know, positional advantage, even if it is getting a Lawrence and a Herbert, that's positional advantage in a 14 team league. It's totally crazy. So
that's definitely a huge advantage. I mean, just looking at this board.
Yes, Dave, Jeudy Witten the third. It's a fourth round. It's a 14 team league, but it was still after all the dudes I told you shouldn't have drafted him in the mock. So I don't mind it.
But yeah, since I actually don't think I've ever played in a 14 team league. I've played in a 32 team league. But definitely different. That was IDP too. So just the exposure of wide receiver in this, it's like just amazing. It's how much green is just
pretty massive. Yeah,
across it's these first few rounds.
I was pretty shocked, I'll be honest with you. That was one of the things, and we can get into this later when we have our discussion, because I know Tyler, you want to bounce here. Anything you have to say, if we can just give a couple seconds about the auction draft, which is another beast in itself. And so there's no draft board here, everybody. So I apologize for this. I'm going to do the best I can to share whatever information I can get here. It's just the teams. So if we are looking at your team, it is, and of course the stupid chat thing is going to pop up here. They can't have a draft board, but they have the chat thing blocking everybody. So this was your team here. This was not the order. Well, no, this was the order you got them. So that's kind of cool. They put them in the order that you got them. So you didn't pick a player until the 20th player off the board, and he took Amon-Ra with $48. Devonta Smith, 38. And then kind of against what you did in the snake, you kind of didn't go zero RB because you spent 32 on Ramondre. So what's the difference there between that, the snake, and your auction?
To be honest with you, it was more of a statement on the snake when I look back at it, and I'm like, damn, I wish I had one running back.
Yeah.
And I went with the hero RB, just to say it, you know, don't worry about Zeke. That doesn't matter.
Yeah. That might come back to haunt you, unfortunately, but I think Stevenson will still be okay. But Zeke is going to, you're going to curse Zeke a few weeks. You know, you will.
Ramondre was the RB 7 in full PPR last year with only 5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
He'll be only 210 rushing attempts.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall he'll be fine. It just it does sting when you're like, oh damn it, Zeke. Why do you have to sign with the Patriots? And you get reminded. Yeah. I'm sure everybody's like, that sucks. Goddard for $8 is a massive steal, by the way. That was phenomenal.
We
could talk about this, and this leads into the next thing. And so we're gonna scroll up to I don't want to call them out. There is a team who went absolutely bonkers on tight end. $75 for Travis Kelce. Now, granted, he then took Pat Mahomes later for 26.
He took Mahomes first.
Was it first?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, then he just went absolutely just all in.
Just went all in for the stack.
Look, I looked at last year's auction before this one happened, and I know it was a different field of managers, but I figured it would still be somewhat in the same ballpark. It was, for the most part. Quarterbacks, the top-end quarterbacks went a little bit higher. I think the most expensive quarterback last year was Josh Allen at 21.
And then Josh Allen got stolen in this draft.
Who?
Josh Allen. In this draft.
We were 14. Talking about that.
Well, so last year, Pat Mahomes went for 11. Everybody fell asleep. There were 7 of us in the room. We're all talking, blah, blah, blah. He gets bid up. Nobody's bidding. Boomy goes, we all look at our computers going, wait, what? Yeah. Josh Allen going for 14, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
I did remember that one.
12. I'm like, trying to find
I probably should have spent up, but I had a dollar amount in my head to what I wanted to spend a quarterback, and I'm happy. I mean, it's funny. I got Herbert in both, but I'm happy I didn't spend any more than I did. But honestly, had I spent the extra like $5 to get Josh Allen, my team would have been so much better. Because the extra $5 I spent to go get, I don't even know who it was, probably didn't matter. So it is what it is.
Pierre Strong?
Yeah, who I've already cut. Who is clearly off the team now. That was a dollar, by the way. Shut up, Mike. Mike was in the hotel room with me and Keith drafting, yelling at us the whole time.
Isn't that what, you know, someone who helps you draft does? They just yell at you. No, you got to pick this guy.
Not even kidding. You were yelling at us the entire time. So, yeah, I mean, Tyler, what were your takeaways about the auction draft?
So I am not super experienced in auction drafting. I was hoping Nate was going to be there to assist. So kind of what I did. I mean, spending most of your money on your starting lineup, you want to have a good starting lineup, especially when you're starting 10 players in a 14 team league.
Yeah.
So I kind of went into it just telling myself, all right, I'm not going to buy a top five wide receiver. I'm just not spending that amount of money. So I grabbed two guys out of kind of the first and maybe second tier of wide receiver that I was really confident in this year that I feel will definitely finish in the top 10 wide receivers in Amon-Ra St. Brown and Devonta Smith.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have Amon-Ra pretty high, man. I wouldn't say he's outside of the top 10.
It's because he's a stud.
Especially in PPR.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's outside of the first tier of wide receivers.
I mean, I got him at 9, so. In PPR. So I liked it. He was one of the ones who, like, he was sitting around for a little while and I was like, all right, if he goes up, like, we're going to try to bid him up. And then he like jumped into the 40 range and I was like, all right, I think I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys dropped in the early 40s.
Yeah. Yeah. All the random like auto bids kind of screwed us up because the one player who kind of just sat there forever, and I'm sure everybody noticed, and that's why he sat there literally forever, Garrett Wilson. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. Yep. I was shocked that the couple of teams that had like $140 left when everybody else had like 80 left didn't just go Garrett Wilson and those two just fight it out, because he was clearly the top player on the board by a long shot. And somebody else, one of the auto teams, the teams that like dropped out of the draft halfway through randomly and then came back, but like they bid him up. And so it was like, well, damn it. I was waiting. Because we were kind of low on money at that point, so I was hoping he would sit around so that we might have a chance, but it didn't work. That was kind of stupid. I kind of wish all the little, like, everybody sort of fell asleep and started leaving the draft room and not coming back and let the auto picks happen. But when you leave an auction draft room, it doesn't mean you don't just draft. It means the computer tries to draft for you, and it screws everything up, so don't do it. You need to stick around in an auto draft.
Never leave.
Or in an auction draft, I mean. So
if you need to go to the bathroom, pick it up on your phone.
Take your phone with you. Like, just open up something so it doesn't go on auto. Because that really we had to pause a couple times and revert, because there was one team that got like three quarterbacks in a row and they spent like $90 on all three, and it was like, whoops, that's clearly not working.
What are you talking about? It's part of the strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna hoard some quarterbacks. There's trading in this, so yeah, so I guess anything besides the craziness with Kelsey that you noticed happened in this auction draft that you'll kind of learn for next year?
Same as kind of every other fantasy league you play in, know your league.
Yeah.
One of the first guys I was excited to nominate was Jahan Dotson, because I knew Jorge, our fearless leader, is a Commanders fan. Fantastic. And he went for just hook, line, and sinker. $20.
$20. Oh, I do remember seeing that. I was like, holy cow, $20 for Dotson. Like,
I was sitting there.
He went the same as Amari Cooper. I'm like, nah, we're good. I like Dotson, man. You know, we're me and Jorge both in the same area. I guess we're both probably Commanders fans. So, but there was no way in hell. No way.
I told everyone that was looking at the draft that was hanging out with me. I said, Jorge is getting Jahan Dotson come hell or high water. And he
That's
did.
Crazy. All right.
Did he Should've open made... the bid at $20 and just let it ride?
No, it was one of those where, like, you know, maybe you'll wait until the clock goes down a little bit, like kind of hem and haw, like, oh, I'm not sure if I want it. It was just boom, boom, boom.
That had to have been.
As soon as he's out there, he's like, no.
Yeah. That had to have been one of the ones, because there were a couple like that where I didn't expect it to happen. Like, you know, obviously the initial bid goes in at a dollar. ESPN forces that. But like somebody would jump it up like $15 randomly. And for some of the players, like clearly that makes sense. Like Christian McCaffrey, like just throw it into the 40s and get it over with. Right. Mm-hmm. Dotson, I think, was one of those guys that like it jumped up to 20 and everybody went.
Nope.
Good.
I put the mouse down. I picked up my beer.
Now like, I can go to the bathroom.
We good. That was pick 17. So have fun. But no, man. Any other last words you want to say about either draft or just the whole weekend in general?
Whole weekend. I mean, it was a blast. If you did not go this year, absolutely go next year. It's a lot of fun, from the Friday night welcome party in Centennial Plaza to the Saturday night party over at Tom Benson Stadium and the Kings Classic. And I enjoyed the actual expo a lot more this year because we weren't stuck in the basement of the DoubleTree.
Although it was still hot.
It was nice and cool in the morning, and then that sun started beating down on that dome, and it warmed up.
I don't know, man. It was hot pretty early for me. I don't know why. We were stuck in that like corner, and like for some reason that little like corner right there where like football guys and Trophy Smack were on the other side of us. Mm-hmm. It was so hot, and just, maybe there's just a lot of people just like hovered around this little area for some reason. But it was just kind of stuffy all day. But yeah, they got to figure out fans and food, like fans as far as like blowing air through and yes. Food. That's my big takeaway. But other than that, man, it is an awesome weekend. I totally agree with you. So but all right, man, before we let you go, just let everybody know where they can find you and all that kind of good stuff, man.
They can find me at FF Tyler Heil, and that's H-E-I-L. It's not easy to pronounce. I know that. I am the Dynasty Director of Content over at Fantasy and Frames. I'm the co-host of Dynasty 365. So please go check us out there on fantasyandframes.com and the Fantasy and Frames podcast feed. We have all the shows on that one feed.
Yeah, man. Nah, Fantasy and Frames does great stuff, man. Definitely appreciate you guys. And I apologize that I butchered your name. So
all good. I appreciate you guys having me on. I really do. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. No, thanks for coming on, man. And good luck this year.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Kind of. See ya. Hi, man. So yeah, I kind of wanted to just take a couple more minutes, if we could, and just kind of run through my draft. You guys can, you know, look at it, see what you want to say about it.
I mean, the biggest blunder here is just missing out on Judy, obviously.
I know. Round three. Yeah, so I'll be honest with you.
Andrews first. I mean,
I'll be honest with you. So. That was an interesting pick for us. That was kind of the turn of the draft for us. Keith and I, you know, we were using the fantasy six pack cheat sheet and we're watching it go. And like, you know, all the running backs and all the receivers flew off the board. As you can see, all the green there in round two, right? So honestly, I don't even know if we need to see us. So let's just blow this up a little bit more so everybody can see.
Yeah. I don't need to see our matching shirts.
Yeah. So all the green there goes, right? And me and Keith are like, damn it. Like we needed a receiver back, right? We got Waddle. I was perfectly fine with it. You know, him and Devonta Smith. I was actually kind of shocked to get Waddle, to be honest with you. I've got Waddle over Olave, over Smith, over Higgins. So to get Waddle after those three was a gift to us. So I was happy there. On the way back, we were like, receiver, 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 receiver. That's kind of what we were hammering. That's kind of what we were thinking. And then, you know, running back, receiver, running back, quarterback, running back, quarterback, quarterback. And then it was receiver, receiver. And we were like, wait a minute. Like, I'm not an early tight end guy, but think about what pick we're talking about here in a 14 team league.
Yeah.
Talking 28. 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. Pick 34 in a 14-team league. You're going to tell me I'm going to have the second-best tight end in a league with 14 teams? I mean, some of these teams are starting some of these teams are starting Dalton Kincaid. I'm sorry, Dalton Kincaid ain't it. Like, I know you probably loaded up on all your flexes and stuff, but man, you give me that position eligibility or position. I'm still tired from the weekend. I'm not going to lie.
Scarcity.
Yeah. Scarcity. You give me that advantage there at that position. I know I'm not have the Travis Kelce advantage. Mark Andrews is damn good. I mean, look, he finished as the better tight end than Kelce just a couple of years ago. Not saying it's going to happen again, but we're talking about an offense that's supposed to open up in the passing game. I think Andrews is going to be damn good. And look, there's a lot of question marks that went after him, right? Look, is Calvin Ridley back? He brought up a lot of good points about Najee. I like Najee, but he brought up a lot of good, you know, Tyler did. DeAndre Hopkins is a guy who, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen there with him.
Oh, you listen to him, but you don't listen to me. What about Hopkins, huh?
But if you're telling me I'm going to get a sure thing of Mark, I like Hopkins. in the realm of where he goes of receivers, if you want to draft a receiver, you're going to tell me I'm going to have a sure thing of Mark Andrews in a 14-team league where you need advantage. What's up, Jamie? I'll do that every day. So that was not part of our plan going in at all. But again, a perfect example of be flexible. Take what the board gives you, right? I had no idea Eckler was going to be there. Me and Keith thought for sure it was between Hill and Kupp. Had no idea which one was going to be there. And then poof, Eckler fell on our lap. And it was like, well, do we do Kelce instead? And we went, hell no, take Eckler. Like, it's a 14-team league. We're going to need tons of running backs and receivers. So we had to do it. Andrews falling in our lap in round three was gold, in my opinion. And then like the quarterbacks kind of flying off the board here was kind of crazy, in my opinion. But I get it, because you need especially a top end quarterback in a 14 team league to succeed, in my opinion. But what else are you looking at here, man?
Oh, man. So
scroll down.
Like, obviously, you know what we've been talking about is, you know, the running quarterbacks. Obviously, everybody is super heavy into the running quarterbacks, but you know, here it is pretty even, I feel like, because you've got the runners going first, you know, after Mahomes, obviously. But then you have your Burrow back to runner, and then you've got arm again with you know, the picks we were talking about earlier with T-Law and your Herbert pick. Cousins, Tua, I mean, can he run? Sure. But will he run this year as much? I mean, unless he's trying to run away from getting a concussion again, maybe. But I don't know. I have mixed emotions on Tua this year. And like, some days I'm really high on him. Other days I'm like, I just don't want to take the risk.
I do like him.
Yeah.
It's the fear of one bad hit will literally end his career.
Yeah.
Like, he's not bouncing back, right?
I mean, you could probably say that about literally any person or player in the NFL. That's why that argument is hard.
But because
to
he's
just
got
get
the
behind.
Concussion history, it
but
makes
based
it more...
on what happened yes. to him specifically last year.
Jamie, thank you. That was a player who we were ecstatic to land because I do think I know it's a safe pick, David Montgomery. He said, "I like the Montgomery pick. Have him at RB18 this year. Great value." I don't have him at RB18, especially in a PPR. I know he can catch passes, but they brought in Gibbs for a reason. But he went after players that I have ranked after him currently. And so I was super sad again. And to Tyler's point earlier, you know, he said he wishes he hadn't taken so many risks. And look, there is a chance to, there is a time to take risks in a draft like this where you, you know, because you want to shoot for the moon, right? You want to win. Nobody's going to remember who gets second place. I get it, right? But there's also, I think there is something to go for where you can sprinkle in a little bit of risk with, you know, playing it safe. And then, you know, maybe you can find that guy on the waiver wire who's going to like outdo kind of being playing it safe. And maybe we played a little too safe. But you know, like I'm looking at like Jaxon Smith-Njigba here going around 4. That pick like blew my mind. I was like, what in the hell? Like, dude is the wide receiver 3 for Seattle this year. Like, I don't care how good he is, he's wide receiver 3 this year. Like, he's not beating out Lockett, who has been one of the best and most consistent receivers in his entire career. He's clearly not beating out DK. I mean, like Jaxon Smith-Njigba was crazy.
Didn't we just get done talking about how Lockett outscored DK?
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, well, I like JSN.
No, I think it was no. But anyway, no. There's just a lot of other dudes at that point. I was kind of like, nah. I mean, but like, even if you like didn't want to take Smith, you know, Jaxon Smith-Njigba there, like maybe you just go a different position at that point and just like see what happens, because like that just seemed like a strange pick to me. I mean, like maybe at the end of the year I'm gonna be like, oh, that was amazing, but like I feel like there's gonna have to be like an injury or like something crazy is gonna happen, because Seattle still loves to run the ball, though. So like, is there gonna be enough for a wide receiver 3 to thrive there?
Yeah,
I'm not buying it.
Scroll down on that team. Actually,
he took Quentin Johnston later. Burks, who just got hurt, which sucks.
Yeah,
I liked that pick actually. Like, you know, he took him ahead of some other dudes, but I thought Burks, you know, I think Burks could still have a good year as the 2 there.
Now, what? Remind me again. Do you how many running backs do you start? 1 or 2?
So it's 2. But
and he went. His first Stevenson, 2 running backs are New England
Harris,
running backs.
Chuba Hubbard. He took 0. He took hero RB to a whole another level than I've ever done. You know, I waited till round 7 in a 14 team league.
I don't hate the receiver picks throughout, but I feel like he was reaching on some of the receivers when maybe he should have leaned running back again.
Yeah, there's probably some dudes that he could have gotten. I mean,
if
he believes in Jaxon Smith-Njigba that much, JSN. Then I think, you know, you kind of have your lineup here and you're good. And then yeah, maybe with the burst
or,
pick, you take
or
a Pacheco
that run
or
right
Montgomery.
There, and then you got Pierce, Sanders, Connor, Akers, like all those guys. I feel like I would have rather gone after those guys than JSN there.
Or even Pitts.
Yeah, or Pitts.
Yeah, like Pitts could prove a lot
of
us wrong.
I hate the Pitts pick because, you know, he maybe Pitts is his guy. He wanted to get you know, the tight end lockdown early, you know, similar. Well, I can't really say similar to you because I'd much rather have Andrews over Pitts, but I get where he was going.
I'm taking Kill and Goddard over.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would take Goddard, obviously, because I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah. So Goddard and Pitts are closer. Kittle. Wow. Yeah. And all those three are really close.
They
feel safer with Goddard. Obviously, Pitts and Kittle, I think, have higher upside. Kittle just needs to get the massive, like, just needs to get more consistent, like, workload. Like, he needs to stop just being a blocker. But anyway,
So I mean, some other interesting picks here.
So he's asking about the thoughts on Quentin Johnson on the Chargers, Deion Wallard, Wallrod here. That was another pick. Sorry, I'm the menu here on this site. That was a pick that surprised me pretty good. Like, I get the upside again, but I just mentioned it. Like, he already had taken a wide receiver 3 in JSN for Seattle 2 rounds earlier. He then turned around. His very next receiver was Quentin Johnson. He passed up on Juju, who I get is boring. Sometimes you need boring. Sometimes you need, in a PPR league, who else is New England throwing to besides Juju and and Ramondre? I mean, I guess Gesicki, but like, come on. There's nobody else there. Johnson shouldn't be picked until probably around 8 or 9 in this draft, in my opinion. He's just that much farther down the board for me. I don't see, unless, and maybe he's just banking on the fact that Mike Williams and Keenan Allen do not stay healthy consistently enough for him to, you know, and then I mean, look, Johnson looked good in his first preseason game, caught a touchdown. Granted, there's some backups, but you know, like to see that. We know the talent is there. The opportunity is probably just not going to be there for him, unfortunately. That's just what it boils down to. So I didn't love the pick. But again, you know, in a league like this, take your chances, 14 teams, against a bunch of sharks. You gotta try what you try.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'm not, you know, saying I'm trying to hate on any of these teams, because I mean, all of these guys are way better drafters than me probably. So there's certain things that stick out. That's one of them to me. Scroll up on for a second. Let's see this team, the Watson, Drake London, the Judy team. All right. So that's Chris Prince's team. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got AJ Brown, Garrett Wilson, Jerry, I like Judy, this team. Christian Watson, Drake London. Heavy receiver.
Yeah. But that's start. Again, Tyler but, was right. You got to go heavy receiver, and you can see why really early. Why?
And I mean, I love that start based on where he was and all these guys falling. And then his running backs are still very solid. You know, Rashad White should be a good volume, good volume back this year. DeAndre Swift, obviously, is an Eagles fan. I love that he's back home. I'm still not sure what his role with Penny, with Gainwell, is going to be. I think it's going to be, you know, a crazy backfield, but I don't have any, you know, hate on that pick, obviously. Mm-hmm. Dalvin Cook was, you know, the dart throw when you grabbed him, but then boom, here he is as the Jets probably top back. Insurance policy back.
But I believe this will be a fairly large split workload. It'll probably be.
I think it'll be split, but I think it's an awesome insurance policy to have for Breeze.
Well, and Cook had already come out like he wanted to go somewhere where he could be like basically the lead dog. Like the Jets reassured him at some point that he was going to have substantial role. So yes,
yeah.
And then I love the Elijah Mitchell pick. That was my You know, your hat, the SGPN guys, they had that little booth on Friday night. They make a bold call. And I said, I don't know how bold it is, but Elijah Mitchell was going to have more yards and rushing yards than CMC. I mean, yeah, a little bold. Clearly going to take an injury for that to happen. But
yeah, that was just giving me the whiskey, that good, man.
Yeah, I'll take that little thimble of whiskey. Yeah. The thing that gets me right is, you know, he loaded up on receiver, loaded up on running back. Dulcich, I'm fine with, again, stacked that with tight end Bosa in a 14 team league.
I mean, he went straight stack right there.
That's gonna, Dulcich, yeah. Mims, I mean, I get Wilson. It. I get what he did. Okay. Wilson could prove everybody wrong. Mm-hmm. That's a lot to, you know, if those two guys, especially Wilson, doesn't hit, that's going to sink his team, in my opinion.
You gotta throw that comment up.
I will. I learned that pretty quickly last year, that if you do not have a reliable quarterback, at least, then you are going to be sinking in this league every single week, and are at least just like you're treading water heavily. Like, you can get away with tight end not being great, but you got to have a quarterback. So he's really relying on the Russell Wilson bounce back, which I am too, unfortunately, because I got him and Scott Fish. But, you know, I kind of wanted to go, you know, I didn't expect to go into this and taking Mark Andrews where I did. He kind of fell to me on our lap, and I was kind of like, oh, I can't pass up on that value. I wanted to go QB early and not tight end early. I don't like doing both. So I'm hoping my team works out. And, you know, we're on the Fantasy Pros site. They loved our draft. They gave me and Keith the top ranking. So it is what it is. But yeah, this is Juju, Henry, and Gesicki is a Dallas version of Welker, Gronk, and Hernandez. Yeah, not great. I get it, but you know, not looking for that kind of value back. You know, but Juju is going to. I think his value at this point has fallen too far. Gesicki got out of Miami where he wasn't even an option in the passing game. They brought him in for a reason. You know, the first year that New England brought in both Henry and guy from Tennessee. Dang it. That was his name. Play blank on his name. Mike, you remember?
It's escaping me right now.
I know, I'm totally blanking. But anyway,
he's not in either place anymore.
No, he's not. He's gone. So anyway, they brought in both those guys. The initial thought was that Henry was going to be kind of more of the
Jonnu Smith.
And yes. Jonnu Smith, thank you, was going to be the pass catcher, but it didn't work out that way. It just wasn't meant to be. So they brought in Gesicki to kind of switch that and then maybe go to like two tight end sets, because honestly, they don't have any other tight end. They don't have any other receivers that are worth a damn. Tyquan Thornton, he's barely healthy right now again. So, Deion Walrod, my trouble drafting this year was quarterback. I was taking running back and receiver first five rounds. Everyone was taking all the good ones. He means for quarterbacks. I mean, again, it depends on the size of the league, Deion. I think in a 10, 12 team league, I think that's okay. I mean, unless your league is crazy and like everybody in the first five rounds is taking their first overall quarterback and you're stuck with the number 12 quarterback in the sixth round. I've never seen that happen. Unless you have, I mean, you might have like, you know, obscure scoring settings, I guess. I don't know, but in a, you know, a pretty normal scoring setting league, I wouldn't worry about it. I don't personally worry about taking the top five or six, seven quarterbacks in a 12 team league. I'm okay taking the 7, 8, the 9, even the 10. I don't feel super comfortable taking the streamer quarterbacks this year. Like when you fall into the Dak, the Aaron Rodgers range, the Daniel Jones range, the Geno Smith range, I think they all have upside. They're all going to be QB1s one week or another, multiple times. I kind of want one of those guys I can just plug in and be like, I ain't worried about it every single week this year. Like, because that strategy, there's too many teams that A, take backup quarterbacks now. And like those guys at the end are really losing their luster at this point. Like it's we're past the time where like the, you know, every quarterback was separated by like 5 points a game in fantasy for like the top 12, not even the top 15, 16, whatever it was. We're past that time. The elites are the elites. We know that. So now you're trying to, unless you want to pay up the first two rounds, three rounds at best for the top three guys. Now Lamar is jumping into that crew. Burrow's not far behind. If people aren't worried about the injury, unless you want to pay up for one of those guys, waiting a little bit and getting like what we did, we waited just a little bit longer and got a Justin Herbert. Legit, one of the only two guys, I'm gonna pull up his card, to have passed for, you know, 4,000 yards in his first 3 years.
Yeah.
How do you hate that? Like, and now he's got a much better offensive coordinator there. That is, I think he is undervalued this year. He's a guy who I am targeting at his ADP every single draft I'm in, which is why I got him in both of these. So,
yeah,
very happy there. Yeah, I don't know. AJ, like, what you got any other like random questions instead of just like analyzing the draft picks per se? I know I'm just kind of throwing it at you. We didn't super prepare for this show.
Let's go back to the auction for a second.
Oh yeah. So yeah, we can jump over the auction here. So yeah, I mean, so just last couple of thoughts on the sink before we jump over the auction and kind of close things out here. So what we did here, like we closed out and we had Herbert and then we took George Pickens. That was kind of the range where it was like, oh man, like that last crew of receivers that you feel any sort of good thing about sort of starts disappearing. And Pickens should not have been there, in my opinion. I do like Deontay Johnson better. I talked about that actually on the panel that I was on at the expo, that we like Johnson better. But getting Pickens almost a full round later was great. But that was kind of like, man, I kind of wanted to go running back. But the receiver, like in our cheat sheet, you could see where the receiver tier dropped. Just like, man, that's where the cliff came. And you were like, we've got to take one because we can't be guaranteed one's going to come back. And so we did. And we were like, there's like 10 running backs we were okay with. And one of them came back to us. It was David Montgomery. So it worked out perfect. And that's exactly why the cheat sheet works. It kind of, you know, it isn't a, you have to take this player here. It's a, it helps you understand what players are available and what, you know, it's not always going to work. What risks you are more likely to be able to take, you know, the, hey, this guy should be able to fall back to me, or this grouping of players, one of them should be able to fall back to me that I'm happy with. Right. Because if I had taken Pickens, I guarantee you, he wouldn't have come back to me. And then I might've gotten stuck taking Treylon Burks. And he just got hurt. So, and we don't know how long he's out. So that sucked. And then, you know, we took a couple of running backs. Again, we went kind of hero RB. So Montgomery and Penny, kind of, you know, very good players win on the field. Montgomery safer, probably going to stay healthy the majority of the season. Penny is kind of that. If he stays healthy, he's probably the Eagles RB1, right? I think, AJ, you would probably agree with that. Maybe, you know, PPR Switz gets a little bit of a boost, but Penny is the guy who I think they really want in that role as the lead bell cow back, right? And so to get him in round 8, after guys like McKinnon, and I get the PPR for him, you know, P. Ryan, I get the allure there because of, you know, Williams. We're not really sure what to think with him right now. But that was a great pick for us. Nico Collins was sort of a funny pick. So just a little backstory real quick. Me and Rob Wozniak, drafted together last year, and we took Nico in both the auction and the snake. So we kind of like coined our team hashtag Nico Collins just to be funny. Muffo got hurt in like week 2. So it sucked, but, Rob had walked over to our table because we were in the same room as him. He was in the other, he was in a different draft this year, walked over to our table where we were sitting. And he's like, hey, just want to let you know, Nico Collins just got drafted like two ahead of me. But just Team Nico, man, always lives on. And then like literally like four picks later, Nico's sitting there and I was like, can I just take him? So we did. So Team Nico Collins lives on, Rob. Love you, man. But I mean, again, I don't hate the pick. I think when you get to that range, you know, you're looking at a bunch of dudes, like, right? And Nico is probably going to be the receiver one there. I know there's a lot of talk about Tank Dell and, you know, all the guys there now. But Nico's a very talented receiver when on the field. And, yeah, just, you know, maybe you could have taken Gallup instead. But, again, a wide receiver three or wide receiver one for the team. It is what it is. I absolutely loved getting Alan Lazard back. Not going to lie. Obviously, him and Rodgers have immense, you know, chemistry there. The rest of the draft is just, I mean, again, we are in the dregs of the picks here. Let's be honest. Algier is basically like, look, if anything were to happen to Bijan, Algier, we know he's good, right? So we don't have to worry about that. Algier is just going to sit there as like a handcuff pick for somebody else's handcuff, right? Wilson, it's kind of like anybody's game there in Miami. Let's figure out who's going to do it. So we just kind of took some chances with a little bit of upside there in the late rounds. Jordan Love was another one of those, like, you need to get a backup quarterback. Because, I mean, look, like Mac Jones, a Brock Purdy, everybody gets drafted. Just about, right? So unless I want to stream Desmond Ridder, and I know there's some Desmond Ridder truthers out there, but unless you want to draft those guys, like, you know, it is what it is. I mean, Vanacanda obviously going to get dropped here at some point. Haven't done it yet, but, you know, took a chance there again. It was same kind of thought because that was before Cook signed. So, but yes, we will jump over to the auction drafts here. So while I'm pulling this up, what do you want?
Sorry, I was muted. Auction, I was saying.
Yeah, trying to find the...
Oh, there it is. Hold on. Crack open a new brew.
Nope, sorry, I cut you off.
I was just saying while I crack open a new brew. Okay.
So anyway, yeah, again, the auction draft, we kind of went into a little bit of the same mindset where we wanted to. I said this earlier. We did not want to spend, you know, the elite dollars, right? So the $62 on Jefferson's. I get the reasons for doing it. I really do. I'm not like dumb. What you find happens, right? Unless you just get stupid lucky in the middle of the draft and just find a bunch of like, $10, $11, $8 players who are good and shouldn't have gone for that much, you end up with half your team with like $1, $2, $3, $4 players, right? And so I'm going to show you the one team, you know, that
would you get
another team, right? Christian McCaffrey went for 51. You get a Derrick Henry for 38. You get ETN for 23. 200. And then tons of, you know, that's a decent one. But Adams and Diggs and
Diggs. Wow. Okay.
But then boom. But then like, look, this guy had $10 off. So he just spent $10 on Jerome Ford. That's what happens, right? When you don't have the money to pay in the middle rounds, you lose out on the depth. And then you have to hope that it works, right? That your top end guys will carry you. And I, you know, like, you know, again, we see here Jamar Chase went for 60, Chubb went for 48, Calvin went for 31. $200 budget, everybody. $200 budget. That's over half on three.
I mean, this well might be a half. Stupid question, but I'm asking because I've only done a handful of auction drafts. Do you have to spend all of your money?
You do not.
Okay.
You can leave.
I didn't think so.
You'd prefer not to do that strategy, though.
Well, but you have. Yeah, into it being like, okay, I got $200 to spend. I'm gonna sit around $150 and see what I can do here.
Well, no. So sorry. I think what you mean is, do you have to fill your roster? And yes, have to leave the draft with a full 16-man roster. Yeah. So you cannot leave the draft going, I spent $200 on five players and I'm out.
Yeah.
No. If you spend $200, if you spend $190 on the first, I can't do the math right now. If you spend the $190 on the first five players, your last 10 players will all be a dollar. That is a horrible decision, in my opinion, but people do it. And so
that's the stars and scrubs strategy.
Definitely. And so, I mean, like, you know, the Mahomes, the Kelsey, the Hill. I mean, my God, this dude was down to like $20, like $30 within the first like three picks. And it was just like, this guy's going to do nothing. So, and I mean, you see it. Most of his team was dollar, $2 players. Some of them are decent. Most are okay. Donovan Peoples-Jones, we all kind of like. Do I want to rely on Donovan Peoples-Jones in my flex? Even my, like, my God, he might be his wide receiver like three or four. Probably not. You know what I mean? Like, it just, like, at the end of the day, it might work. I totally get everything, you know, anything's possible, but it seems bizarre. So we went into it going, you know, I wanted a more balanced approach. Yes, we knew we needed to pay up. And so we kind of like washed the board. We let some of the high end players go. And then, you know, but they all didn't go like number one, right? They all don't go first. They all, that's the thing about auctions. You know, some of these high end players, right? So Tony Pollard was the 25th player drafted, went for 47. That's one of the higher players that got drafted. We waited, right? And so we didn't necessarily wait to spend our money, but we waited on value. So Najee went for 22. He's worth more than that. So we thought that that was a pretty good value. I have him as like a top 12, a top 12 back. I have a top 10 back in PPR. $22 for a top 10 PPR running back in my mind, easy. Came back around. Keenan Allen, I'm a little higher on him than some. Kind of saw, and it, I'm not going to scroll around a ton because it'll just get too weird to look at. But when you started watching the board go, we knew from the snake draft, because it was first, that receivers were being super valued, right? Like, they were being not overvalued, but there was a little bit of extra juice on them, right? So you had to go a little higher. So Keenan Allen for 31, was it what I was expecting early on before it started? No. But was I fine with it? Yes. Mixon at 24 was another one of those like sort of value plays. I actually like Harris more than Mixon, so to pay more for Mixon kind of sucked. But at that point, like, the running backs that I was really hoping to get to kind of balance my team out started going away. They were just vanishing. So I'm fine with that. Again, Mixon, you also got to remember with Mixon, right? Mixon had like 90 something plus targets last year with a Samaje Perine. Who's challenging Mixon for targets on that team as a running back this year? I know they still got Chase and Higgins and even Boyd, but let's get real. Like, Mixon's going to get his. He's not going to blow up like he did 2 years ago. But Mixon's going to be fine. And again, we got Waddle again. Waddle was our highest paid player. This is where things got a little interesting. It sort of was like, all right, fine. So D Hop at 15. Look, I don't love it, but again, the receivers were kind of going a little higher price than I thought. But we got a lot of the guys that I was talking about last draft, where it was sort of like, you know, they're safe picks. Hopkins, sort of safe. You know, Hopkins is a beast, right? Juju, safe PPR player. Tony was a $5 dart throw, in my opinion. Like, he didn't go higher. I was like, fine. That was like somebody who I didn't think I'd get for $5. Michael Thomas, I kind of believe Michael Thomas is bouncing back a little bit this year. I know he doesn't have, you know, the Hall of Fame quarterback anymore, but.
Yeah, but he has a future Hall of Fame quarterback-ish guy.
What?
I'm just.
I was like, please tell me you're joking. But Michael Thomas, yes, you know, this is a guy who restructured his contract to, you know, one of the knocks on Michael Thomas, besides injuries, right, is that he didn't want to play. It felt like that, right? Nagging injuries, all this kind of stuff, whatever. Michael Thomas is the guy who now restructured his contract to stay with the Saints. So why not? Why not take a chance on the guy who's kind of betting on himself? That's kind of what it was. And then we got David Montgomery again, deep tight end, which is kind of what I wanted to do in the other drafts, but it didn't work out that way. You know, I had somebody's, you know, had somebody not bid up on Andrews to whatever he went for. I would have taken a cheaper Andrews than what he should have gone for. But, you know, the tight ends kind of went where you expected them to go. Like even a Waller went for 12. And I was like, you know, once we spent up on these guys earlier on, I was like, I can't bid up on a Waller. You know, the one thing I do with an auction is I have a calculator and go, okay, we spent this much money. Here's how much money we have left. Here's how many draft positions we need left. And here's the average that we can spend per draft slot. And then Keith took it a spot further and said, okay, what if we say our last three picks are $1 players? And so then you can raise the average on the next like six or seven or five or whatever it ends up being and say, okay, so we can spend $8 on average for the next eight. Then your last three can be dollar, but you're always going to have dollar players. This is like almost, there's almost no way around it.
Yeah.
So you've got to factor that in. And, you know, we did that. And like, we ended up getting the Pirine for $9. We were able to take a chance on a Pirine for $9 because we had some money. So I like the balance of this team again. Our strategy is different than everybody else's, you know, but that's, I love auctions for that. They are long. We were very tired at the end. The Chase Claypool was an auto and I apologize for that. Everybody, we got super tired there. Yeah, that's right, Bob. So what, any questions, AJ, about the auction? We should probably close this out soon.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like we've hit most of it here. I mean, the big point we kind of already drove home here was just the high dollar numbers. But yeah, looking at your team, you know, balance was definitely there. Like, you're not spending a crazy amount, but you're still getting lots of quality within, you know, the budget that you guys were comfortable with. I mean, what is there other more balanced teams like that? Like, I
actually think we might have been the probably Michael Hoff. Maybe was pretty balanced.
Pretty
here.
Balanced, yeah. I like that. I mean, 46 on Wilson.
You know, I'll say this, like, one, so because of the roster sizes, right? And the number of teams in this draft. So if I'm in a 12 team league that does one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, and one flex, you bet your ass I'm going after the Justin Jeffersons for $80 because he's going to go for 80 in those. And I have no issues doing that there because you don't need as much depth. Three flex, that's, I'm not trying to take those twos just because Jefferson gets me 25. Like, I'll make up that 25 with, you know, guys like Michael Thomas and Juju and Tony, and where, you know, I just said Jefferson because he's literally on the team sitting next to me on the board. It was just kind of the name that popped out, right? Not to say that it's a bad team next to us. And Matt Williams, like, I, you know, great player and has won this league a few times, so kudos to him. But you know, it's one of those, if you do that, you're going super hard on the waiver wire pretty early, and you're hoping to catch fire a lot of times. So, you know, like, you know, did I want to take the chances on like he took chances on Rich James and Tyquan Thornton, Logan Thomas? Like, those guys are throwaway players for him, and he knows it. Just like Chase Claypool for us is a throwaway player. We kind of thought Zeke was a throwaway player, but maybe not anymore. Like, I didn't know where he was going to sign, but signing with New England might give him a little bit of life. I'm kind of interested. We already threw away Pierre Strong. We realized we didn't have a backup tight end or quarterback. And they both have early bye weeks. So we went and grabbed one to kind of replace that, because we know streaming quarterback and tight end is pretty hard on a 14 teamer. But besides that, I think we did pretty well. But yeah, there's not a lot of other super balanced teams. This one's closer. This looks closer to what me and Waz did last year, where we went like two or three really high price players. Yeah. And then.
Yeah. And that, I mean, even that.
And that's still okay too.
Pretty balanced. I mean, yeah, you have Penny a couple nine, like, I like hero budget guys where you're like, screw it, we're spending big on this. And then, you know, a handful of teens players. And I mean, I but like he, that because he, you don't have, he's only got what, one or $2 players. So he still has money to play with.
Yeah,
to,
but like, I mean, like, you think about me, he's been $5 on Tank Bigsby. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Where like, if you just have money left over at the end, you're just spending off, money though. To spend money.
I mean, all good. That all it takes is an injury to ETN.
But or, so he or here's my thing.
Playing time.
Would you rather pay $48 for a CeeDee Lamb or $36 for a Waddle, and then be able to afford also like a $15 Hopkins and a $31 Allen, to where his top three receivers are Brandon Cooks at 12, 48 at Lamb, Mike Williams at 15. Ayuk at 18 is not bad. That's actually really good value.
I like Ayuk at 18.
Ayuk at 18 is pretty sick.
That's pretty awesome. Late. I like the Cooks Dak stack for $24. I mean, that's gonna be helpful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and he's got CD and Dak too. So
that's gonna be tough.
He's heavy Cowboys stack there. Yeah. So. I think that's beneficial and
Chris Prince is another very balanced team. He actually saved a lot of his money. He was one of the later yeah. guys. Now, however, you're gonna look at the dollar values and think he saved it, like he has a balanced team, but he didn't start buying players until so late that if you start looking at the names, you're gonna go ooh. Like getting Andrews for 18 was actually kind of a steal, especially when you consider Kelce went for 75. I think everybody was sort of like, what's going to happen here with the tight ends? And everybody was like afraid to bid. So they just didn't. So getting Andrews for 18 was cheap. Now Kelce was out of the water, like crazy high, but you know, he got some good values here, but I think what happened to Chris, I'll be perfectly honest, is that he didn't spend enough money early enough. And so he then just started paying money for players like Nico Collins for 11. As much as I love some Nico Collins, there's no reason why Nico Collins should have gone for 11. And I got DeAndre Hopkins for 15. That's just, again, that's what happens when you just got money left over. You're paying up for players who shouldn't have probably gotten that dollar value. Had they gone in order, like you just put them in order of ADP. The players don't go for that much money, but that's what happens. So that's the joys of auction drafts. They are very fun, but
yeah,
I think you know, it'll be an interesting year. Always excited to be invited to these drafts. Thank you, Bob Lung, for bringing me in again this year, and I hope to be invited next year again. But yeah, that being said, I think and close it out there. Next week, I don't have the schedule up because we had no schedule for this week. I don't know what we're doing next week.
Improv.
Improv.
What?
No, it was a joke. We're
like, didn't we just do that?
That was this week. But no, next week we'll be back normal time. And we will get rolling there. I'm trying to pull it up here. It is here we go. 2023 draft strategy, which is a little bit of what we talked about today. But that's cool. We're bringing in Matt Donnelly and Zach Attack here. So that'll be a good time. So yeah, see you all next Thursday and have a good night, everyone.
All right. Cheers. Good night.